So let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for Easter and for resurrection. We're thankful for renewal. We're thankful for your promise of eternal life, but more than that, we're thankful for a promise of life now, in the midst of spring, in the midst of your blooming creation. We're even more aware. The gentle air that's warm, rain instead of snow, budding trees and budding spring flowers, the call of birds, all of it reminds us of the power of renewal that comes by your hand. And we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your risen Son, Jesus Christ, who offers us renewal in our lives. And so we come today celebrating your creation, relying on your living presence, and asking that you might indeed be a source of renewal for us individually. We come with parts of our lives that are alive and full and joyful. And we come with parts of our lives that rest in the dark. Some things lie dormant, skills that we're not using, even gifts that we don't know we have. Some parts of us just have been shut away because we don't want to examine a brokenness in our lives. There are places where we have regrets and we struggle, places where our relationships with others are difficult. And so we come craving resurrection, renewal, regeneration. We come wanting to be made new in you. And we ask that your power of life might be upon us, and that we might know your Spirit, and that we might be filled. Lord, we also come with a lot of people on our hearts, people that we work with, our dear friends, family members that we love. And we ask that you might be a renewing presence in the way that needs to happen in their lives. So we lift to you our friends who are struggling through decisions they've made or by the decisions of other people in their lives. Those are hurting in chronic pain, whether that's of body or mind or heart. We lift to you those who are struggling because they're underemployed or unemployed. For those who live in addiction. For those who mourn the loss of friends or family. For those who are in difficult relationships, you know who they are, Lord. And we give them to you, trusting that you are a God who renews and resurrects. And our prayers go into a wider circle, Lord, as we remember this community, the acquaintances that we have, the people we'll meet today as we use services in restaurants and gas stations and stores. And we pray that we might be a resurrecting presence in whatever that means, whether it's a smile, a kind word, an encouragement. Let us be your instruments in bringing a glimpse of new life. And we pray a greater circle out into this world. We pray for the people of this county and this nation of the world. We pray for the leaders of this county, the elected leaders of this state and of this nation. We pray for nations. In particular, we pray for those who struggle in the midst of war, whether that's an internal civil strife or wars with other nations, and those who are always at the ready in defense or in offensive moves. We pray that your kind of peace can come, not a peace that's brought by military strength, but a peace that passes our understanding in the way that we work, that goes beyond that, a peace that would save lives and hold all human beings in dignity. And we pray for people in this world who are trapped by lack of education, trapped by ill health care, lack of water, by racism, by ageism, trapped in all kinds of ways in this life that does not allow them to rise in hope. We pray for people who reach out, give their lives to serve other people, work in nonprofits in very difficult places. We pray for those who are serving refugees and internally displaced people, those who are serving in pockets of poverty around this world. We pray for those servants, and we pray for those who are lifted up. And Lord, we pray for people of privilege, and if we're in that category, yeah, we're praying for ourselves. That you might hold us from making assumptions about how everyone lives or should live. That you're helping us to refrain from judgment and instead moving to embrace and to love fully so that others might live. Lord, we come with all kinds of burdens. Some we carry and our heart is broken for news items we hear, and others are very personal. And so we're taking a few minutes now in silence, Lord, to just lift to you what's on our hearts. Jesus, our risen Lord, give us energy to be life for someone else. Give us compassion to reach out a hand. Give us strength to speak when we need to speak and to be silent when we need to do that. We're relying on your mercy and the promise of new life as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, and we're just going to look at chapter 10, verses 7 through 10. Therefore Jesus said again, "Truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." It's the word of God for the people of God. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we come before you today and we ask that your Spirit would fill us and empower us. We look to you as the Good Shepherd. Help us to hear and recognize your voice so that you would lead us to green pastures and out of harm. We open ourselves to you and your Spirit at this time. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So there's an old Mohawk proverb, and it says that life is both giving and receiving. So do you ever notice sometimes that you have a conversation with somebody, it's a friend, a coworker, or a family member, and you walk away from that conversation and you are absolutely drained? You feel like your life and your energy has been just sort of sucked out of you. And you tell yourself, "I don't want to see this person for like 2 weeks," and you want to avoid them. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. This service, not so much. In the second service, there were a lot of "yeah," and looking over at spouses and stuff like that. And then there are other people, there's friends, you spend time with them. You hang out with them, and you feel absolutely energized, and you tell yourself, "I can't wait until I hang out with this person again." We have those different relationships in our lives, whether it's a family member, whether it's a friend or a coworker. The same is true of activities and programs. You can volunteer 1 hour here, or you can get involved in this group or that group, and you have to pour time and energy into it, and hopefully you get something out of it, but sometimes you just feel even more tired and you feel drained. And then there are other times where you can engage in some kind of volunteer work, a quilter's thing, or you can go on ASP, and you work really hard physically, but at the end of it, you feel absolutely energized. Or sometimes you come to church, and you know by the very fact that you're sitting there and you're listening to me, basically what you're doing is you're giving me attention. You are giving me your energy. And hopefully by the words that I speak, you are being refilled. Because what's being given in exchange in this Mohawk proverb is life, it's energy. So in Chinese culture, they call this energy qi energy, this energy which is exchanged between people and activities. In Japanese culture, it's called ki energy. It means the same thing. Or in Indian culture, it's called prana. Now, I'm Korean-American, but I don't know what the word is in Korean. I'm going to have to go look that up. But in our English language, we call it energy. Or in church, we call it spirit. What we want to give is what we want to ultimately receive back. And so, to sort of illustrate this example, I have this ball jar, and this represents us. This represents me. And inside is water. It's just food coloring. I thought it would just show up better. If it was clear, then you wouldn't really be able to tell. So what this jar is, it's me, and inside this water represents my level of energy. And I have to give energy to all kinds of things. So this is my work. So I give energy to work, right? And then this jar is my family. I have to give energy to my family, my parents, my sister, brother-in-law, my wife. I have to give more energy to my family. They require a lot. I'm a sports fan, love football, give energy to the Detroit Lions and Michigan football. And I give a lot of energy to them, too. And then there's my friends and activities that I enjoy, like playing the guitar or golfing and things like that. And so I give a little bit of energy to all of these things. And at the end of the day, I'm sort of almost empty. At the end of the week, I'm almost empty. At the end of the month, I'm kind of empty and I'm drained. Now, hopefully, ideally, when I put energy into something, that energy gets returned back to me. So I worked, but hopefully I get paid for that work, and it recharges my energy. It recharges my sense of, okay, like, it's equal, it's fair. And with my family, hopefully their love and their affirmation gets returned back to me in the form of energy. But in reality, I never really get back everything I put in with my family, so... Yeah. I talk to my mom every single day on the phone. I call her every day. But it doesn't mean that I talk to her for very long every day. So Michigan football and Detroit Lions, that's all they give back to me. They total energy suck right there. It's been a really hard 10 years. If you're a Lions fan, it's been much longer than that. And then, you know, the things that I love doing, you know, playing guitar, listening to Led Zeppelin records, hanging out with my friends, those things pretty much return everything back to me, re-energize me. My wife, if you ask her, what do you like to do to recharge your batteries? She'll tell you, I like to sit on the couch and I get our two dogs, Betsy and Buster, to come and just cuddle with me. And she says, that will just recharge her energy. Today is April 12th. It's my dog Betsy's birthday. She's 6 years old, and she's getting old because her face is turning white. But anyway, I just had to throw a shout out to her, even though she doesn't know what I'm doing right now and she can't hear the sermon, but I'm just throwing energy in her way. The truth of the matter is that despite all the places where we give energy and we receive energy, we're always going to be running sort of at a deficit. We never actually get back everything that we put in. And Jesus talks about this in today's scripture. He says, some have come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Meaning that there are people, there are forces, there are organizations, systems, institutions, there's politics, things that are going to rob us of our energy, that is going to take from us, that is going to subtract from us. And that's just reality. We can complain about it all we want, but that's just sort of the way it is. But what happens when you're constantly running at a deficit? What happens when you constantly put energy into your work and you don't get anything back, or into your family and you don't get as much back, and to sports teams and you don't get anything back? And then what if you put in energy back into your friends and your relationships? What happens when you're constantly giving, and you're not getting everything back that you gave? You start running on empty. You start running on fumes and vapors. I talked to one of our church members who is a physician after the second service, and he told me, you know, your sermon makes so much sense in my practice of medicine. And I, really, how? He said, so many patients will come to me and they'll say, oh, I think I have this wrong with me. Oh, can you check my testosterone level? Or I think I might have this, self-diagnosing things. And he'll sort of look at them and he'll say, physically, everything is pretty okay, but he can definitely tell that there is a lack of energy and vitality within them. And it manifests itself in all kinds of psychological, emotional ways. It can stress our bodies. And if you prolong that over a course of time, it's what makes people into miserable, depressed human beings. It's because our energy level is constantly getting lower, 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 and lower. Now, there's two ways that we could mitigate this energy loss. There's two ways that we can sort of stop or reverse this trend. The first thing that we can do, if you're like my wife, is you find all kinds of good activities. She's really crafty, so she'll make crafty things, or she'll hang out with the dogs. And my wife is sort of a health nut, so she loves researching healthy foods and exercises and stuff like that. And those things can sort of rebalance and mitigate our energy loss. The other thing that we can do to sort of rebalance our energy loss is that we ourselves become energy stealers. And we all do it. You know how I said sometimes you have lunch with a friend and you walk away from that conversation and you think, oh, will this person never stop talking? I need a break from them. You know what? Reality check. Every single one of us sometimes are energy stealers too. And so we replenish ourselves at the expense of others. Parents do this to their kids. They'll come home from a long day of work and then they'll start nagging their kids about why the room's not clean and why, you know, their grades aren't where it is. And if you're a parent and you think to yourself, well, I never do things like that, you're either a great parent or you're delusional. I'm trying not to make eye contact with anybody here. But as a parent, you know, because your parent may have done that to you, right? It's their way, family's way, of sort of saying, you know what, I've had a really hard time, and I need to replenish my batteries. When I was walking out of first and second service, I can't tell you how many wives and husbands said to me, he steals my energy. And then the husbands, they don't say anything. They just look back over at them. They feel the same way, but they can't say it, or else, you know, they're sleeping on the couch tonight. Sometimes we steal energy by being that grumpy, miserable person at work. And our coworkers, they kind of avoid us like the plague. Look, I'm not judging anyone. Every single one of us not only gives energy, but every single one of us takes energy in different ways to sort of mitigate our deficit. The second thing that we can do is we can become avoiders. And what that is that you sort of put a tight seal on yourself and you say, you know what? I'm not going to give anything out. I'm not going to lose anything anymore. I'm done. Some people, they don't engage in conversation. They'll just shut down. They'll say, and they'll just walk away. Some people, they won't engage in activities or programs because they say, yeah, you know what, I'm so tired, I don't have any energy, I don't have time for it, and if I do that thing, it's just going to make me even more tired. And so they sort of avoid those things. For me personally, I'm an 80-20 person. I'm 80% avoider, I'm 20% energy sucker. But 10 years ago, I was 20-80 the other way. I was 80% an energy sucker, and then I was a 20% avoider. I used to love getting into fights and arguments about 10 years ago. It's not conducive for being a pastor. So I'm just being honest. Jesus says, he has come so that we might have life, and life to the fullest. Now, what is life? What does life mean? It's almost ubiquitous. It's almost like when people say, what is love? Well, what is life? The ancient Israelites and the ancient Greek philosophers, they had four different words to describe the word life. So the first word is bios, and it means our physical being, our physical function, eat, sleep, excrete, metabolize, breathe. That's bios, and it's where we get the word biology. It's the study of life, our physical life. The second word in Greek is psyche, and it's where we get the word psyche from, or psychology. And the second word for life means our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings, our soul. And because you're alive physically, it doesn't necessarily mean that your brain is functioning all the time either. So there's these different aspects of life. The third word for life is the word zoe. Now, zoe has more of an esoteric kind of a meaning. It's not physical life. It's not mental, like, am I thinking? Is my brain working? Am I feeling emotions? Zoe is this energy that you feel when you say, my life is filled with meaning and my life is filled with purpose. See, you can be completely physically healthy. You can have all of your mental functions. You can have a great job. You could be married with 2.5 kids, a dog, and a white picket fence, financially stable. You can have the car of your dreams. And you could sit there by yourself at the end of the day wondering, why am I doing all of this? I feel like there's no meaning and purpose. I'm just going through the motions each day. I feel like it's just a daily grind, and I feel spent. And you try to go on vacations. You try to buy things. But no matter what you do, you still feel unfulfilled because you're running at a deficit. So when Jesus says, I have come so that you may have life and life to the full, which one of these three words for life do you think is used in John chapter 10? The first one, the second one, or the third one? The third one. And you know it's the third one because I put it number 3 on the list. Whenever pastors give you a list, the last one is the most important one. It's the right one. Jesus says, I have come so that your life will be filled with energy, that your life will be filled with meaning and filled with purpose. Just a real important note. Jesus' words are absolutely revolutionary because all the way up till Jesus' time, even in Jesus' time, and even now in 2015, in the entire history of humanity, religion, any kind of religion, has always operated on the principle that I owe the gods something. Whether it's the Christian God or any God, I have to do things for God. I have to worship God. I have to tithe. I have to come to church. I have to pray. I have to read the Bible. I have to sacrifice. I have to volunteer. I have to do these things, and then God will be happy with me, and then God will bless my life. You may not quite articulate it in that sort of way, and you know, not all people think about it that way, but that's in large part, that's how humanity views a relationship with a spiritual deity. That's why people feel guilty when they don't come to church or feel guilty when they don't do things, because they feel like God is disappointed at them. And the idea is, if I do enough for God, then God will reward me by blessing me and blessing my life. That is the way that religion has operated since the beginning of humanity. But what Jesus says is actually, that's completely wrong. It actually operates the opposite way. You don't owe anything to God. You don't have to do things for God to receive blessings. Jesus says, I have come here so that I can bless you, so that I can fill you, so that I can empower you, that I can give you life and energy. What you do with that energy is what you want to do. But see, this God is different. This God is here so that you will be filled and to be recharged. See, people in Jesus' time, they were running on an energy deficit too. Some things in humanity have not changed. And Jesus comes so that we can refill our lives. See, we can try to refill it with all kinds of activities and things that we think are meaningful, but the truth of the matter is that we won't always get everything that we put out there. It's just not how reality works. At the end of first service, one of the youth group students, Garrett, he came up to me and he said, you know, as I thought about your sermon, he said, God is like a sink. And I said, you mean where I drain the water and all the empty bits of food go down? He said, not the garbage disposal sink. He said, the water tap sink. He says, when you're running empty, it's like you just turn on that tap water and there is an endless supply of water to refill yourself. And when Jesus says, I have come to give life and give life to the fullest, Jesus is saying there is a source of energy, of life, vitality, meaning, and purpose that is available. We just have to tap into it. Now, there's all different kinds of ways. There's all different kinds of means. But I just like to share with you how I like to recharge my batteries. I spend time in prayer. Usually the interval is anywhere from 10 seconds to about 10 minutes each day. And I know you're thinking, 10 minutes? That's a long time to pray. Well, guess what? I'm a pastor. It's what I do for a living. So I've been practicing it for a while. For me, I love to pray. And it's not just me getting on my knees and folding my hands and praying. I'll pray while I'm walking, driving. I'll even pray while I'm talking to people. I'll be praying while I'm working and doing all different kinds of things. And as I pray, I'm not very articulate with words. You would think as a pastor that my prayers would just flow off of my tongue and I can go on and on. I really can't. It's not my gifting. So when I pray, this is what I imagine. I imagine myself as a cup. Now, this isn't really a cup. This is a ball jar. And the reason why it's a ball jar is in my house, my wife, she likes to use like mason jars and ball jars. So we don't actually have any cups. We just have a whole bunch of these. But I imagine myself as this kind of ball jar, this cup. And I got to take the lid off because I'm an avoider. And I just open myself and I say, Lord, I'm running low. This person that I'm talking to, sucking the life out of me. This job today, I'm dragging my feet. Lord, this activity, I feel like I'm putting so much time and energy and effort into it, and I'm not getting anything out of it. Lord, my conversation with my family member, they just don't get it. Lord, I'm not feeling well physically today. I need your healing. Sometimes it's not just us. Maybe, Lord, my friend, my family member, they're really ill, and it's just draining me. And I imagine myself as this cup, and I imagine this cup slowly being filled with water from the bottom and slowly being filled to the top. What's interesting in my mind, it works sort of like a TV screen. I don't actually know where the water is coming from. Maybe it is coming from the tap. Maybe it's coming from heaven. I don't know. But I'll sit there for about 10 seconds to about 10 minutes, And that's what my prayer will be. And as I sit there in silence, and I open myself up, and I breathe deep, I breathe slowly, I can feel the presence of God filling my life, empowering me, giving me energy. And you know what the beautiful part of it, this is? This is the benefit of coming to the third service. You hear the well-thought-out sermon. I thought about this too. When I am full, even those negative relationships, those negative situations, even those, even that which sort of sucks the energy dry from me, I begin to even see it in positive ways too. That's the power of being filled with the Spirit of God. It's available to each and every one of us, not only here and now at church, but every single day. Now, each and every one of you are going to do it differently, but we're going to close with a brief time of prayer, and we're going to take about, I don't know, anywhere from 5 to 10 seconds. I want you to just close your eyes. I want you to relax, breathe deep, and I want you to imagine a cup in front of you that's your life, and I want you to imagine that water is being slowly filled from the bottom, and it's filling all the way up to the top. Let's do that together. Can we close our eyes? We're just going to pray. No words. Lord, we come before you dry and empty. And you fill us up with the power of your Spirit, giving us life, meaning, purpose, and energy. We are filled to the brim with your Holy Spirit, empowered and ready to live the life that you have called us to live. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the Good Shepherd, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.